There we go. I'm not going to start things for another couple of minutes. Hi, Jen.
Behind. What page are you on?
Wherever you like. Let's see, where am I at here? Yeah, we have a slow sign in this morning. Excuse me. Oops, there we go. Good morning. Let's see.
Happy Father's Day, Jerry, and all the men on the group.
Thank
Happy
you.
Father's Day, you all. It's
Thank you.
great to
Thank you.
be
Thank
here.
you. Hey, John, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. John.
Me see if I can get this gallery set up correctly.
Recording.
Okay. I'm always surprised on Sunday morning how things show up. I'm never quite sure how they're going to show up. Well, that's not what I wanted. I'm not sure where that came from. Okay, that's back. It was slow signing in this morning. A lot of people have a Father's Day hangover. Thank you, Don. I did send out the link yesterday. Good morning, Jean. Well, as slow as we are, it's time to start. So, we'll do a regular beginning. You wouldn't mind taking a moment to close your eyes, a couple of breaths. Kind of let that chest, torso, abdomen area in your body just to stretch, unwind, relax. We don't know how much tension we carry with us without even knowing it. Body armor, it's called sometimes. So we open ourselves up to be receptive of the highest truth. And know that the work that we are doing heals us and heals the world as well. What a gift. Not only are you not alone, but you never could be alone. As Jesus spoke, as the Christ consciousness, behold, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you alone. Deep breath, stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. I get a charge out of those words, I will never leave you alone. Because there's a literal meaning there that I will never leave you alone. I'll always be with you. And there's sort of a an esoteric meaning there too, is I'm going to keep bugging you. I'm going to keep tapping you on the shoulder. I will never leave you alone until you realize who you truly are. So don't expect that to go away. I will never leave you alone. I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you alone until you realize the truth of who you are. Which is annoying as hell sometimes, but also true.
I was thinking the same thing. I did that.
I will never leave you alone. Leave me alone!
I'm working on it.
Sorry, no, I'm not going to. You might not realize it right now, but it's part of your contract. Your contract says, I will not leave you alone until you realize who you truly are. So if I'm still bugging you, you haven't realized who you truly are yet. Okay. We are, for those of you who are following in our book, we are using the Book of Innocence.
What page?
What page are we on? We're on page 64. And I'll read a paragraph where we closed last week so we can kind of link it together with what we're going to be talking about this week. Unless you have anything else you want to add or say or do or touch or say something about or complain about. Yes, John.
Didn't struggle with the problem of evil. Why there's so much evil in the world. And sometimes I get a real clear answer, and other times I'm back to square one and don't understand. And I'm at that, I don't understand.
So is there a struggle there accepting it? Is it trying to define it? What's the purpose?
Trying to make sense out of it.
Okay.
Why God permits this. I know it's a big problem for everybody to answer that. Sometimes I feel like I have the answer, and other times it's back.
Okay. That's The, what John is getting at is what philosophers would call the problem of evil. And People have been struggling with that one. Spiritual people have been struggling that with that one for forever. The answer that is usually given is that there is no such thing as evil. It's just that your lack of understanding, your lack of vision in being able to understand this, whatever this is, on a higher level. Now, I have a difficult time with that one too, because I want some answers, and I don't particularly like it seems like a cop out to say there's no such thing as evil. Now, I have come across some books, some readings that have explained that, and probably the deepest level that I can imagine, but it still irks me. Yeah, Janet, you were going to say something?
Just that I just want to throw in, I've never been able to say when they changed prayer here, should deliver us from error.
What was it
I
again?
can't take it. Instead of deliver us from evil, they said here, deliver us from error. I can't say that.
Okay.
It's evil. Evil is a lot bigger than an error.
I don't have an answer to that one.
I didn't expect an
You
answer.
know,
I just can't remember why.
what I will do though, however, there's a piece of reading that I probably will send out with the reflections on today's class that offers some explanation for that, but it's still not tremendously satisfying, the best we can do right now. The difficulty is that if I name something as evil, something that I don't want to have anything to do with, then I'm putting that in the dark, and I'm putting myself at least partially in there as well. Fear, anger, hatred, prejudice, are all ways of, they're skewed ways of looking at ourselves and looking at life. Lower vibration. I often stop and ask myself, what would Mother Teresa say about that? Huh. Good question. What would Jesus say? What would Buddha say about that?
Native Americans.
Somehow or another, there have been some beings who have been able to transcend that mindset that divides things into good and evil. They have a secret that I don't know yet. Okay. But I do believe they have. If you ask Buddha or Jesus, they would say, what are you talking about? Evil, what are you talking about? Well, because look what's happening over here. Well, if you knew, if you saw the whole picture, if you saw the whole picture like I saw the whole picture, you would not be calling something good and not be calling something evil. You would not be making a judgment, you would not be making a distinction. As soon as I make a judgment, as soon as I make a distinction, I am lost in separateness. My favorite little Zen poem, Sun Tzu Ming, starts off by saying, the great way is not difficult for those who have no opinions. When love and hate are both absent, love and hate are both absent, everything becomes clear and undisguised. Make one distinction, however, and heaven and earth are set infinitely apart. And it goes on with that thought. I don't understand that with my mind, But to me, there is a truth there that my mind cannot, that is deeper than what my mind can grasp. And I guess the question is, am I willing to be open to that? I don't have to do anything about it, but am I willing to be open to that? Don? Yeah.
And to know that you there is choice. You do have
I have a choice. Yeah. I have
no
a
matter
choice.
what anybody can tell you all your life.
What was that again?
No matter what everybody's been telling you all your life, you do have choice.
We're going to get into that in my sermon this afternoon or this morning later on. What everybody has been telling you is not true. I'm trying not to cop out on that one, so I'm going to sit with it for a while and I'll give you as much as I possibly can. First paragraph on page 64. There are levels of experience. Interesting. This is fa fascinating. I did not plan this. There are levels of experience that you will not attain while moored to this dimensional reality through form, through solid form, through your body. Matter. But there are ways of understanding and comprehending the experience of the divine as manifest. There are ways of understanding the divine in the even in the material world. In the upper room, you are not as precluded from these experiences because you are moved beyond fear, and your experience of self as manifest as matter is challenged only by the idea that the divine cannot express as it must, which is always your own decision, that God is limited, cannot know itself as form. Can God show up as Donald Trump? Can God show up as Adolf Hitler? Can God show up as Caligula? If God can't show up like that, what are we going to do with that one? If God can show up like that, what are we going to do with that one? Yeah.
I'm told it was funny. I was walking out to the Gay Pride Festival yesterday, day before, Philly. But anyway, so I drove separately and I parked over by the wayside. So these guys come up and stop me in the corner. They're talking about, do I believe in God and stuff like that. I said, well, it's kind of tough. And I mentioned Trump. And they gave me a religion, you know, they said, well, you got to. I said, well, the tough thing is to see the aspect of the divine
Can
in
you all
you.
hear okay? I think you might need to talk a little bit louder.
Yeah. But I said, the tough thing is to see the aspect of the divine in Trump.
I'm not, we're not talking about loving their personality or
Right.
their ego.
Yeah.
We're talking, as you were saying, we're talking about the divinity within them. How it's expressing itself is in some ways none of my business because it's their karma, not mine. Still, it's not easy to grasp.
Well, could we take a minute and where is the divine in them? What can we pick out of them that is divine that we can see?
That's the question.
Right. Is there anything that you can see within him?
What if I stop for a minute and say, what is he teaching me? What is there in me that sees him as being evil? What is it within me that sees him as being angry and judgmental and wrong and horrible and awful and terrible? What a mirror that is. What a learning experience that is, just to ask that question. Because if it's true that what I see out there is something that's going on in here, if that's true, then it's up to me to do whatever healing is taking place inside of me. And that's a hell of a learning experience.
I guess for me, and maybe it's coming from an energetic standpoint, I can sense that the divine in somebody like that. And I know all of that exists, but I also know that there's both of those things that exist. And so where do I want to focus? Where do I want to keep my energy?
Two words: unconditional love.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
This touches me. So,
By the way, I didn't know this is where we're going to be going. This is my thing.
let's
That's okay.
okay. So, using Donald Trump. So, let's say.
Turn that up, Jerry.
Yeah, hang on a second, Jim.
Okay.
I need to
I'll speak
I need to
louder.
up I need to up your volume a little bit.
Okay. All right. Let's just say, really forget it, it could be anybody, that my intention is to love the core of who they are, irrespective to the personality of what's out picturing. Now that said, what if I knew someone whose personality and whatever, was diametrically opposed to me. However, let's say there was an aspect of that person I knew. Let's say that person was a good father. It's Father's Day. Let's say I knew that he was a good father. He took care of his kids and the whole nine yards. What if Jim focused on that aspect of that person? Again, say he was a loving father. Let me focus on that aspect of the divine in him. And again, I'm not in a relationship with this person, but I'm choosing to put my focus on that particular quality, if that makes sense.
No, definitely it does. Definitely it does.
I mean, I don't think, as an example, Trump does not drink alcohol. So to me, I see that as something that is positive, I
Okay.
guess. Yeah, I like the family thing too, because it seems like he raised his children with integrity in the sense of a work ethic. I would see that as something I could focus on. So yeah, thanks, Jim.
Good. Thank you.
I don't know if I remember way back with Trump and Hillary. She was asked that question, what do you like anything about this family? And she said the way his ways raised his children. So
Okay.
she couldn't come up with anything else, but she did say that.
I wonder what it would be like also if I were to become aware. Since we already mentioned Donald, we might as well keep it on Donald for a while. He's just an archetype. It's not a person we're talking about. What would it be like if I realized, well, what has come to me fairly recently is watching him and stopping for a moment and saying, how much pain is this guy in? Would I even want to come close karmically to the pain that this person's in? To do what he's doing, to say what he's saying, to project what he's projecting. How much pain is this individual? I wouldn't even want to come close to that. Now that doesn't answer the question, but it does give me a different perspective.
Which reminds me of your story about the tailgate. You know, the guy who comes up, he's right on your bumper. And your first reaction is there. And then you look back there and you say, man, I bet you his wife kicked or gave him a rough time this morning. Instead of kicking the dog, going home and kicking the dog, he's riding my bumper. So, you know, it kind of puts me in, he's not a bad man. He needs, you know, he's just not a good. In a good place.
Limited in his vision, limited in his idea, limited in, I mean, he's even limited in language. You listen to him speak, he's got the vocabulary of a 3-year-old. And I'm not saying that as a slur, but it's true. Anyway. You are not precluded from these experiences because you are moved beyond fear. And your experience itself as manifest as matter is challenged only by the idea that the divine cannot express as it must, which is always your own decision. God is either limited or not. Going into today's lesson, your triumph. Okay, after we've just beaten ourselves down for a while, okay. Your triumph, the triumph of the true self, is a resurrected state, is the claim upon all things it sees. Behold, I make all things new. It is the monad, or the word expressed as form, the oneness. They like that word monad, I think, because it kind of throws people off a little bit. Like, what the hell is he talking about? The way I translate it in my mind is monad means oneness. But using a different word kind of shakes my intellect up a little bit. So there's not something, I can't define it as well as I can the other ones, which is a good thing. So the monad, oh, what is that? How does that, what does that mean? How does that touch me? If I just say oneness, I say, oh yeah, I already know what oneness is. Say the monad, I'm not quite sure what that means. Well, good, I'm glad you're not quite sure what it means. Because you're not supposed to know what it means with your intellect. You're supposed to know what it means with your heart. How does your heart respond to the monad? All it can do is open. Can't judge, can't define, can open. It is not the light trying to be the light. That's a great line. It is not the light trying to be the light. It is the nature of being and presence through invocation that aligns what it encounters to the divinity that was ever present but had been denied. I am willing to see God in this person, but not in that person. Notice what happens to the equation. I'm willing to see God within you, but I'm not willing to see it within me, which I've heard so many times from people as well. How does that work? It's one of those things, one of those few things that's all or nothing. That's what Richard Rohr said. Richard Rohr one time said, there's only one thing I am sure of. God is good. All the rest is gray. And not speaking about God is good out there someplace, but God is good in here someplace. Only one thing that I'm sure. Remind of. Remind me of a short story. I hope it's not too much off the subject. A number of years ago, I was doing a lot of retreat work, mostly for people in recovery, 12-step programs. And I was approached by some people that I did not know who were basically, what do they call themselves? They're charismatic Catholics. Okay, they were sort of very much into scripture, very much into healing with healing energy hands, almost evangelical in some ways. And they said, "We'd like you to do a retreat for us." I said, "Really?" I said, "I'm not coming from the same place you guys are. We'd like to get another point of view." I said, "Okay." They said, "Would you mind listening to some tapes first? Give you an idea where." So they had a whole bunch of old box of tapes by Richard Rohr, Franciscan priest. And I said, "Okay, sure." So I was listening, and I agree with everything he said. Didn't have any problem with it. But I remember one thing was so distinct it stood out for me. He said, he was talking to a group of people. He said, "You know, a lot of people ask me, is there a hell? Because, you know, it doesn't seem like an infinitely loving God is going to have hell." He said, "Well," he said, "according to the scriptures and according to what I was taught from Catholic theology, yes, there is a hell. But," he said, "you know, no, nobody says there's anybody in it." Oh. Nobody said there's anybody in it. What a great hook. I said, I can deal with that. I can work with that one. It is the nature of being and presence through invocation. Invocation meaning, Lord, let me see. Lord, that I may see. That's an invocation. It's calling upon God to be present in whatever ways we need. It is the nature of being in presence through invocation that aligns what it is encounters to the divinity that was ever present. Whether you believe it or not, it's there, but it has been denied. Now, some of you will say, "Well, where's the magic here? I want to feel the magic. Give me some magic." This is Paul talking, or the guides talking through Paul. There is no magic here. There is realization. And the alteration of form through realization. In other words, how I see things, what I see things, I could see peace instead of this. How could I see this differently? The Course in Miracles asks. Now, your form is altered, know it or not, through your recognition of your inherent divinity. When you realize the God within you, your form changes. It changes your body. It changes the energy you are in, changes the physicality energy that you are part of. I believe that I am a divine, a unique expression of divine child of God. That changes your body. It changes the matter you are, changes the material vibration that you are standing in. I realize, I know that I am a unique expression of divine experience. That changes my physical you, and because it changes it, in some ways what it does is it magnetizes you. So you will attract to yourself those who might be in need of your energy. You'll also be attracting those who are just simply attracted to your energy. Margot was like that a lot. You unbelievably, how many people said to me, the word that they used in describing her was presence. Her presence did dot dot dot. Whether that was healing energy, whether that was helping somebody through a grieving process, whether that was somebody who just needed some love and some attention, some focus, right? Her presence was palpable. And so, because of her energy, her form changed and she became magnetized. Attracted to herself people who needed that energy themselves and did that again and again and again. Not on, didn't say, "Well, I think I'm going to change my energy." That was just their natural scope of things. Now, your form is altered, know it or not, through your recognition of your inherent divinity. I recognize the divinity that I am, and because I do that, my form changes. The word words that are coming to me has become magnetized. My vibration raises. The higher my vibration, the more attractive I am. The more you are attracted to me, there is no magic here. There is just realization. Because now this is available because you may perceive it, you will now embark on the realization of the material realm beyond the density that is accrued through alignment of lower field. You must understand that the tree and the brook express in the upper room, but in a more refined state. Because the eyes that perceive the tree and the brook are the eyes that perceive the divine. And the brook and the tree claim this by their own recognition of your claim upon it.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes, Jim.
Just kind of going back, what you were saying in terms of attracting this energy. I'm just thinking out loud to myself as I go, or anyone goes higher into consciousness and realizing their true selves, then perhaps those folks or acquaintances or friends, whatever the case may be, who are not, or they move away. And not that you kicked them to the curb or anything like that. Your energy is vibrating at a higher level and they just kind of just fall away. And I don't know if that makes sense.
When negative thoughts are no longer focused on fed, they begin to die of attrition. They just fall away. There's no energy form anymore. So when I decide, when I make a decision that I am going to be as best I possibly can be through the divine power within me, that I am going to be as loving, unconditionally loving, and as non-judgmental as I possibly can be. And I am going to focus on what I see as being truth rather than what I see as being conflict. That those things that I have been holding on to, those addictions or those attachments that I've been holding on to that are a reflection of that negativity or the need for attention or whatever it might happen to be, just kind of begin to fall away. Because there's nothing for them to be attached to. They're not being fed. It's like a leaf on a tree that gets cut off on the sap, right? It just falls off. I don't have to pull it off, I don't have to chop it off, I don't have to do anything else. All I have to do is ignore it for a while. And just my ignoring it allows it to just fall away. It's just no longer important. It's no longer part of the definition of who I am. What's the last part of that paragraph? In Zen Buddhism, they would talk about the trees and the mountains. And after enlightenment, there are still the trees and the mountains, but they're different than they were before. Because I have now made them a part of me. I have now embraced them as being the truth of who I am. They're not something outside of me anymore, something inside. I recognize the beauty of the brooks and the trees and the mountains. I recognize those with my five senses, which is one way of doing that. Which is kind of lower vibration thinking. And then I begin to recognize them as part of all of creation, including myself, which is higher vibration. And now what I've done is instead of looking at the brooks and the trees and the mountains as something beautiful outside of me, they are now something beautiful inside of me. And I can share that with you. I can talk to you about mountains and brooks and trees. As a biologist or as a geologist, or I can talk to you about brooks and mountains and trees as a lover of brooks and mountains and trees, and one who has absorbed that truth of being part of my being. I can share that with you. And what I share with you is on an energetic state rather than words, rather than thoughts, rather than ideas. I get it. I might not have seen the same tree you saw. I might have been not been by the same brook you've been by. I might not have climbed the same mountain you've climbed, but I'm with you. I understand. We've done that together. Peace be with you. My peace I give you, not as the world giveth. So we're going to take a few minutes to do our meditation. You can close your eyes if you like. Become aware of the sacred space that you have created. It is quiet, but it is powerful. It is still, but it is creative. It is expressive. And yet it is free of desire and judgment. It fills your body and surrounds your body. It fills this room and surrounds this room. It fills where you are sitting and surrounds you with that loving energy as well. And think of all the many thousands of other people who are doing work similar to this right at this moment. And how fortunate we are to be able to share this space with one another. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Happy
Happy
Father's Day.
Father's Day, everybody.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jim.
Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Barbara, I
Barbara,
love your
I love
dog.
thanks,
Happy
Jerry. Happy
Father's Day.
Father's Day, everybody.
Father's Day.
Thank you, y'all.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, guys.
Love you all.
Love you all.